This is Sportsline on WRMJ.
He breaks free. He's inside the 20, the 10, the 5.
A weekly in-depth look at the local high school sports scene.
Touchdown, Mercer County. Touchdown, Golden Eagles.
Sportsline is brought to you by your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business.
Get a launch of three at the gun. No good, and the Rockets have won the game. The Rockets head back to state.
By 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots.
A three at the gun is no good, and this game is over! The Tigers have won! They're going to celebrate! Purple and gold converging on the Don Morris Gymnasium floor! Unbelievable!
And by Diamond Ag, local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville.
She throws the first three in a row for Lockridge! The Rockets have won three state titles in a row in softball.
Now from the WRMJ studios in downtown Aledo, here's Jim Taylor and Ty Taylor with Sportsline.
All right, good morning, everyone. Let's get another great school year of high school sports coverage on WRMJ and WRMJ.com, a tradition that started back in 1979, kind of a new era as John Hoshite, not with us anymore, with the exception of week two. We'll talk about that a bit later, but I've been doing this since 1990, and the station has been doing it since 1979, and I thought really a great treat I saw early today with some youngsters from Rockridge. They bring swag over. They're ready for the season. I'm ready for the season. Ty's ready for the season, and looking forward to another quality year of high school sports. And there's nothing better than Friday nights and small school football in the state of Illinois.
Yeah, exciting. And like you said, thank you to the Rockridge football program. Stuff like that's always really cool. You know, it was Jude Finch, Colin Schweigen, Landon Wheatley, and Landon Bull stopped by this morning. They were here about 7:15. They had practice starting at 8, so they kind of had to go and get out of here pretty quickly. But it was really cool. They dropped us off some stuff, some shirts, some hats, a helmet for us to display well. So we have both a Rockridge and Sherrard helmet in the WRMJ studios now. Really cool. And like you said, it's going to be a fun year, I think, especially, and we'll talk about this throughout the show today, I'm sure, but with Mercer County moving to the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, now all of the schools we cover, all of, you know, our hyper-local schools are playing each other throughout the season. It should be a really fun season to follow, and I think a really competitive and interesting season in the track and football this year.
And I know as we go along, there were these week zero games, last night scrimmages, and I think those are important, and it's awesome that the IHSA is allowing that, and they're giving schools the flexibility. If they want to do it, they can do it. If they don't want to do it, they don't have to do it. You know, some coaches are concerned about injury, which can be an issue in week zero. Some coaches are worried about, hey, I don't want to show anything and allow other programs to see what we're doing early in the season. So you were out at a couple of week zero games. Now, my thing with that, it does show you some stuff, but I always believe in small school football, when you have the good years, you know, special teams to me will always be the difference. Do you have a kicker? Do you have a punter? Can your punt coverage do a good job? Can your kickoff coverage team do a good job? You don't get to do that in these scrimmages, right?
Correct. There's no special teams snaps.
And that's a big part of small school football, right? I say. So, but it is nice that those schools get those opportunities. You were at Sherrard. They played over in Kewaunee against the Enewan Weathersfield Co-op. And then Mirko last night over in Oneida playing against the Rova Williamsfield Co-op. Did you pick up anything substantial early in the season, you think, or is it tough to tell?
Here's what I'll say. Now, I like that they're doing these scrimmages, but if you go to, like, what I learned is that if you go to one of those looking to see anything or learn anything, it's hard to, because, well, the Sherrard and Anawan Weathersfield scrimmage, they were, both teams wore practice uniforms, so,
oh, so you don't know who
I mean,
is.
You couldn't really tell. I mean, you could tell who some of the kids were, obviously, like the Rashid kid for Anawan Weathersfield. You could tell when he had the ball, and then Obviously, Carter Brown, you can kind of tell him, the Woodward kid for Sherrard, very good athlete too. So you could kind of tell those kids. And then Mercer County and Roval Williamsfield, I know Mercer County, they wore like different uniforms, so the numbers were wrong. So the roster I had was kind of pointless too. But you could take a few things from it, I guess. But like you said, I'm not sure schools were really showing everything that they were going to be running. And then I think, you know, when you're playing just basically 24 snaps on both sides of the ball, there's not that big of a sample size really either. But I think it was nice, which we'll talk about later with some of the coaches too, with the way numbers are at some schools nowadays in football. I mean, you just can't really get good 11 on 11 looks in practice. And I think the most important thing that these scrimmages are able to provide for small schools especially is you get to see your team play 11 on 11 full contact with another varsity team before the season goes. I think that's definitely a big plus for those.
Well, and we'll hear from Coach Matlick this morning, Coach Johnston, also Coach Graves and Coach Filler. I know one of the big storylines this year is numbers. I know the IHSA and the National Federation of State High School Associations, they were out with, you know, participation numbers across all sports are up. But I would argue that at least in the sport of football in our area of the state, you know, numbers are down, and we'll hear about that from Coach Filler. They're at 21 kids, right?
21 or 22, he said. There might have another kid. They're not sure yet.
I hope they get the 22nd
me
kid.
Me too. And then I think Mercer County is at 41. Sherrard, last night, Coach Johnston said, is at 39. And Rock Ridge, when I talked to Coach Graves this week, has 46 out.
Well, and it's interesting then, and I talked to Brian Roosh this week, the Dakota program, who plays in the NUIC, their numbers that are like at 20 or 21, where they've already wiped out a JV season. And there was talk about the potential of maybe not even having a team. That this was like during the summer, some of the rumor and speculation, but they're playing, and it's just sad to hear those type of stories. You know, multitude of reasons, apparently. I don't know, but it's something that as we move along in the evolution of this sport, you know, something has to change in terms to get those numbers up, because now what is it? If you get 45 kids,
yeah,
I mean, you feel really good. And even that, that's not a lot. And when you're in the 20s, you know, Orion's scrapped a JV season, and you've said it before, and we've talked about it off the air. You know, it's tough to keep kids out, those freshmen and sophomores, if they don't get to play games.
Right.
And they got to practice from mid-August to whenever the season ends.
Not play
and
a
then,
single game.
And then
right.
If they do get played, they do play, they're playing by attrition.
Right.
And they're playing against juniors and seniors. And that never ends well.
And that, I think, is a good segue, because when you see programs have the numbers fall like that, it can be really challenging to build those numbers back up.
100%.
And I mean, and I think it's important to note, so Riverdale, a school in the track, they had to cancel their varsity football season 2 years ago because they had 18 kids in the whole school out for football. And this year, Coach Derrick said that they are going to be hovering around 50.
Good.
Which is
great.
Just, I mean, that is an unheard of turnaround, really. And I know in terms of numbers, too, I think Princeton, who obviously has turned into quite a program in recent history, they got, I think Coach Pearson said, 70 kids out at Princeton. 70. I mean, they're going to be
getting a Western Big Six.
Most of the schools they play, they will, I mean, have nearly double the kids out, like, on the roster as the team they're playing.
Well,
and the quality of kids they have is super high, obviously, but just the overall number, I mean, that's, you know, setting them up very nicely.
And here's the interesting thing. So you bring up Riverdale, which is an interesting story, because he kind of kept right his JV kids playing truly
yes.
JV football.
Even last year.
Yeah, and I think he was smart doing that. So, and I think early in the season is pretty important. And Riverdale plays Mendota in week one this year. Now, I'm not saying is that a guaranteed victory for Riverdale or whatever, but I'm saying if they do win, they got 50 kids out, and I think attitude means something early in the season. And those type of programs, you're a victim of circumstance sometimes is what your schedule like. Mm-hmm. So let's say if Riverdale had to open up week one with Princeton.
Right.
With those, and then you get shellacked against a team like that. then what's the attitude going into week two or whatever? Oh, we're in the same old situation. Open up with – I think Riverdale's kind of a wild card
team. I do, too. I really do.
The number of kids they have and then him playing his JV kids at the JV level. And, you know, you did the preseason poll among the media, mm-hmm. right, and then the coaches, too. And it kind of showed Rockridge on the small school side and Princeton on the big school side. But I think the big school side, you know, the strength over there, I mean, Kewaunee should be pretty solid. I think Monmouth Roseville is going to be very good. And did I read somewhere, Jeremy, I just can't believe it. Did I see 25 years? Like,
it's 24, I believe.
24. And then it's funny because so he opens up with Mercer County. And before he took the Monmouth Roseville job, he spent that year as an assistant with Coach Zunkel.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and then he got the Monmouth Roseville job, and of course in 95, Aledo High School grad. So he's got to be pretty stoked about the track situation in Mercer County coming in, and then lo and behold, an Aledo kid opens the season against Mercer County week one at Sunny Lane Field.
So we can kind of go from each game we're going to have on the air next week. So we'll start, I guess, with a little bit of a preview of Mercer County and Monmouth Roseville. And I think, like you said, Monmouth Roseville is going to be very good. I mean, to me, I think on the big school side, the Mississippi division of the track, I think, you know, Princeton is a very, very heavy favorite. And I would quite honestly be pretty surprised if they lost a game in the regular season this year. But to me, I think Monmouth Roseville is number two on that side of the league, and I know down the line later in the year they play Rock Ridge, which I expect to be a really good game. So, and we talk about this with Coach Matlick. You'll hear his conversation with us coming up a little bit later on this morning. But, you know, they, I guess you could say, like the schedule makers, they said, we're going to test you right away, Mercer County. Welcome to the conference, because I think Monmouth Roseville, I mean, you could probably say in terms of the overall 12 teams in the league, they're probably either the second or third best team overall, I think, coming in. Or you put them up there with Princeton and Rock Ridge, I think. But Mercer County, they'll definitely be tested, especially up front. It's no secret Monmouth Roseville every year is really big and really strong up front. And Coach Adolphson has kind of indicated he feels like in his 24 years coaching, you know, varsity high school football now, he thinks this is probably the strongest offensive line group he's ever had, which I think says quite a bit, because if you watch Monmouth Roseville year in and year out, they're so big every year, it feels like. So it should be a test right away for Mercer County. I know for the Golden Eagles, there's, I think, a lot of question marks, just kind of how they're going to look and how they're going to compete in the new league. I know Tannen Whitehall at running back has had, I mean, a really strong year as a sophomore last year. Last night over in Oneida, I believe, and again, I think, because they're not wearing the right uniforms and everything, but I think he touched the ball four times and scored all four times he touched it.
Oh, wow.
So, Lidith was taking videos too, by the way. So, I talked to her for a little bit. She's taking a break from the pageant stuff.
There's our sideline reporter you want.
Yeah. So, but yeah.
I'm Lidith Whitehall for sideline reporter.
He looked really good, and, you know, new quarterback, obviously, John Baldwin, who's a good athlete. You know, he hasn't played varsity quarterback yet. So I think that'll be a bit of an adjustment. And I just think it's too bad the way the schedule works out for them right away, because you can't really coast into that game. And, I mean, you're going to hit the ground running and have to be playing really, really well to beat that Monmouth Roseville team. So I think that game between Mercer County and Monmouth Roseville Friday will be a very interesting result, and I think it'll say a lot about where Mercer County is, depending on, you know, what the spread of the game ends up being.
Oh, I think that, you know, you look at the track, and most of the interest, I think, of week one games, I think that's the really game of the league that stands out, because the schools in the conference, you know, if you look at Mercer County and they can go down there and pick up a win at Monmouth Roseville, then people are going to say, this is a team to be reckoned with. But then if the score is reversed, then people will say, well, how are they going to settle into this new league? And the other thing that I think is interesting, and you talk about schedule, you know, I mentioned Coach Adolphson, you know, a guy that's been doing it for, you said, 24 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, those experienced coaches, too, you're going up against that. That means something. And then I think even week two, Mirko has Sherrard, and Brandon Johnston's been doing it, what, about 14 or 15
I think. And then, you know, week three, Coach Filler, you're 16. Yeah.
And the other thing is rivalry means something, mm-hmm. not just to Mirko, But rivalry means something to those other schools that now get a chance to play them. That's a big game for community.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's a big game for community. Those Mercer County games are going to generate a whole bunch of interest when the Eagles, because Aledo and Monmouth used to be a great rivalry back in the day. And those type of games are going to have a lot of attention. That's kind of a wild card, too, with emotion and following and all. And then we're going to find that out, I guess, next Friday night right off the bat. I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how the Eagles settle into that new league. And, again, I think that week one game next week is going to be a fun game to kind of track.
Yep, so also on the WRMJ airwaves in week one, we're excited for this one. We always love when Rock Ridge and Sherrard get a play. They've played wild games 2 years in a row that Rock Ridge has come out on top of. Now, 2 years ago, was Sherrard up 21-0 or was it 21-7 in that game? Do you remember?
I think it was 21-0.
Yeah, and then last year, Sherrard led them, I think, you know, with less than 2 minutes left. And then Colin Schweigen at Rock Ridge, kind of his first, like, of a few game-winning drives down the stretch against Sherrard, able to lead the Rockets down the field and beat Sherrard by three. And this is another game that I think is really interesting. I think coming in, you obviously have to say that Rock Ridge is the favorite in this game. But when you look at Rock Ridge, and again, we'll hear from both Sam Graves and Brandon Johnston coming up, Rock Ridge at their skill positions is very strong. I think outside of Princeton, you know, they match up with everybody. And I can even say they match up with Princeton at the skill positions spots. I think Princeton probably a little ahead of them at those places. But when you look at, you know, Colin Schweigen, he almost passed and rushed for over 1,000 yards each last year as a freshman. And his progression, I mean, from week one to what they played into week 11 last year, I mean, he looked like a senior playing quarterback by the end of the year. And then, you know, you look at the kids they have back. Landon Wheatley was their leading receiver, really dynamic playmaker. Both Liam and Owen Steele had strong years as sophomores for the Rockets on the outside last year. And then Baylen Lehman's really good athlete. We saw him come on strong kind of in the winter in the basketball season too, just as an athlete. So I really like what Rock Ridge has on the outsides. I think, you know, at running back, Jacob Freiermuth back, obviously they're losing Alex Arlatanis, who was a great player on both sides of the ball, and you can't really understate the impact he had. But Freiermuth, you know, backed him up and played in spots last year. And Coach Graves said that Thomas Sowards, who played a lot of special team snaps as a freshman
number
last
zero.
Year, number zero, you know, a good wrestler too, is a kid who they're looking to for production, both offensively at a running back spot and then defensively at a linebacker too. So for them, skill-wise, I think things look good. The question mark arises, though, up front for them along the offensive line. You have Landon Bullback, who it sounds like is going to be playing offensive line. I guess we got some insider information on that this morning. But the McKeg kid, Tanner McKeg, is back, and he's had a strong first 2 years. He's just a junior this year. But they did lose three starting offensive linemen from last year, so for them, you know, you got to see where the spots are filled in offensive line wise. We talk about that with Coach Graves coming up, of kind of some of the kids they're looking for. And then defensively for Rock Ridge, I mean, it's no question, two huge losses with Zarlatanis, who we mentioned, and Vaughn Frere, who they lose along the offensive line as well. So for them, you know, defensively, I know Landon Bull was an All-State linebacker. Jude Finch has had a great, you know, 3 years now as he's going into his senior year as a defensive lineman, state champion wrestler. Ryan Lower has been great his first 2 years, and then their whole secondary's back, so it's not like, you know, the defense is going to take a huge step back, but there are some big shoes to fill. But I think that the Rockets should be very strong on both sides of the ball again.
Yeah, there's no question about that. And when you talk about the defensive side of the ball, they have playmakers, and you look at like Landon Bull, if he gets the ball on a turnover, yeah. Or Ryan Lower had the scoop and score off the block punt last year. And you talk about Jude Finch. Nobody has figured him out as the 135-pound nose tackle. I mean, it's amazing when Coach Graves made that change in his sophomore year. And, I mean, the havoc he's wreaked along the defensive line. But the one thing that I look at Rock Ridge, too, Vaughn Frere is a huge loss because he had such a great year last year. And I tell you who else they lost that to me has been a big impact is Van de Geest.
Mm-hmm. Austin.
Because it's always nice when you know you got seven.
Every time you score, you got seven.
And you can get three.
Well, that's the other thing. And then kickoffs. I mean, they're now. I know Coach Graves was upset at times with like return coverage sometimes, but being able to kick the ball deep in high school football, small school football, is pretty important. And I'll tell you the other thing. Zarla Tandis was a good punter, and those things I always look at. To me, if you know, and because I heard Coach Graves, did he tell you or he? He made the comment, November team.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And they're a program that, yeah, they're no, to me, my opinion, that's how they play every year. That they've proved it every year with him. They're a playoff caliber deep team. But it'll be interesting to see who those replacements are special teams wise for Zarla Tandis. And the other thing about him, he was, to me, I think he played every down for every year he played. It seemed like he didn't leave the field defensively, offensively, special teams. That dude, number six, was out there every time. And like, Vandegeese was good, man. Yeah. Automatic.
Well, and I agree with kicking and punting, but like you said, and I think with Zarla Tandis and Frere for them, I mean, you're not going to replace them. You're just going to hope to kids, you know, some kids are able to step up and help fill in what, because they did so much, especially defensively. So Sherrard this year trying to again get back to the playoffs. I think it'd be for the first time in 16 years now if they were able to do it this season. But they're an interesting team too, where even after watching them in their scrimmage last night, it just feels like there's still a lot of unknown with them. You just kind of don't know what things are exactly going to look like. So Carter Brown, who we've talked about ad nauseum, it feels like the last 2 years, and he's just a junior still, which is crazy because he's been such a dynamic player. He's been a unanimous first-team all-conference player both his freshman and sophomore years as a wide receiver. So he's playing quarterback this year. He was lined up at quarterback for Sherrard last night. They were still kind of running the spread stuff out of the shotgun. He threw two touchdown passes. He looks pretty good throwing the ball. Obviously, when they get him out running the ball, he looks really good. So comfortable doing that. They have Garrett Woodward lined up as a running back, so they were kind of running a few read option type things, it looked like. And then, but for Sherrard, you know, coming into the season, I think they're kind of the flip of Rock Ridge, where coming in, you knew, well, you thought you knew what they were going to look like up front because they had, you know, four starters back from last year, and then their probably best overall lineman was out all last season with an injury, Grady Steele, who's back. But you know, unfortunately, they're dealing with some injuries up front. I know one of their guards, I think Sam Steckel, has like a collarbone issue, I believe. So he hasn't been able to practice the last few weeks. And then their left tackle last night on actually the first play of that scrimmage got hurt. And it sounds like the initial, you know, report is that it's a broken arm, which would have him out for the season. So, just like that, it really, I mean, when you're a small school football program and you have two linemen hurt, I mean, you already are really fighting, you know, attrition, who you're going to have to slide into those spots. So, you know, that's the thing for them, is if they aren't able to have those two kids play, which I don't think they probably will this week for sure against Rock Ridge, you know, where do things look like up front for them? And then, you know, at the receiver spots, I think some question marks of where the production will come, because they lost basically, outside of Brown and Woodward, all of their production, like yards-wise, quarterback, running back, and receiver from last year. Brody Bender caught a touchdown pass last night over the middle. I was standing by Jansen. He said that's the first Bender touchdown ever, he thinks, in family history. So he was pretty excited about that. But I liked how Brown looked, you know. I just like for them that he's going to get a touch the ball every play. And then defensively for Sherrard, I think kind of the same thing we said on the offensive side of the ball, just kind of question marks now up front, now that they're dealing with injuries. But, you know, I like Brown as a defensive back. I like Woodward and Grady Steele as linebackers. So for them, you know, I think it'll be kind of a learning curve. They're going to be pretty young. They don't have a lot of seniors that are playing. So they'll look a lot different this year, I think, but there's still potential for them to be good and competitive, and they are coached very well too.
And I'll say it, you know, you mentioned about not being in the playoffs how many years? 13?
15 or 16, I think.
So if you take back, you go back to what year, what week was it when they played Rock Ridge last year?
4.
So that game hung in the balance, very easily could have won that. They win that game last year, they're in the playoffs.
Well, they
and then if you look the 2 years before when they were up 21-0, had a chance to maybe win that. To me, those are the two games in the last 15 years that stand out that have really been.
Well, and last year, if you look at how, you know, and it feels like just every year they're just so close to getting there. Because last year, you know, the first 4 weeks they went 1-3. They played Kewaunee week one, who went 8-1 and was a 4A playoff team and lost to them 28-21. They played that great Newman program and lost to them on the road 16-10. And then they lost to Rock Ridge 31-28. And like Coach Johnson says it in our interview with them, he's like, you know, we felt like we were, you know, eight plays from being a playoff team. And he's like, I know that sounds kind of ridiculous when you were 3-6, but it's the truth. You know, they unfortunately, what they've been able to do the past, you know, and they've made great strides, obviously, but it's still, they just, you know, it just felt like they kept falling in that one possession loss. And eventually, you know, you have to turn those into wins, and you know, they're progressing. I think the program is, you know, in a much better spot than it has been in years, but to get to the playoffs and to get over the hump, it's so difficult. And I think, you know, the schedule for them this year, there's a path to it for sure, but they're going to have to play really well in some of these games to beat good teams to get there, which now, you have to do anyway.
Now, and the other thing is for fans too, because this can be confusing, they're in the track conference, of course, but they're on the big school side, which is the Mississippi division. So strength of schedule, you know, they have to play three of the really good teams in the league in Monmouth, Roseville, Kewaunee, and Princeton. And then, you know, I was reading the preview about Hall. You know, I know they didn't have a lot of success last year, but it sounds like they got like everybody back. What mm-hmm. is it, like they got 19 starters back or something like that? So they're kind of a wild card on that other side too. But I just think from a Sherrard standpoint, the Rockridge game is such a big game mm-hmm. for them.
And I think Sherrard has hosted that game like 4 years in a row. I don't know how that ends up happening, but
What about the secret weapon, Lane Luxmore?
He played a little bit last night. Family member, him and Ryan Lower for us. But, that'll be an interesting matchup. And you mentioned Hall. That's a good transition into the third game we'll have on the WRMJ Ravs next week from Spring Valley. Orion opens the season at Hall, and we mentioned Oregon earlier, 21-22 kids out, but I think it's a pretty quality 21 or 22, especially when you look at their, you know, skill position spots. Cale Filler last year over 2,000 yards passing, 23 touchdowns, 3 interceptions is all. You know, and their top two receivers are back, Owen Voorhees and Jake Bainbridge. But, you know, and we get into this with Coach Filler, I'll spoil one of the things he said. One of the questions I asked him, I said, okay, so what's the, you know, if you have some injuries take place, what's the plan to try and, you know, deal with that? And he goes, you want to know the plan, Ty? Not get hurt. Which is funny. Well, and also when we get to Coach Filler's interview, that's a classic Coach Filler answer. They were in the weight room this morning when I called him. So he just had the kids stop lifting, turn the music off, and we just did the interview on speakerphone so everybody could hear
it. Were they playing Motley Crue? Isn't that the band?
So, but you know, like I said, with Filler, Voorhees, and Bainbridge, that's a strong group. And he talks about he liked how they looked. They played Rock Falls last night in a scrimmage. And you know, Rock Falls has struggled in football the past few years. But Coach Filler said he liked the way they looked. And again, like everybody who has low numbers, you know, like we just touched on, injuries can really derail you if, you know, it happens to a certain couple of kids. And two, you know, I just think for them up front is such a question mark. When you look at their roster, they have one senior offensive lineman, one junior offensive lineman, and the rest are either sophomores or freshmen. So, you know, I think for them it'll be hard up front to get a consistent like push just with the youth they're going to be playing with. And then defensively, obviously, they need to be better than they were last year. I think in their six losses, they gave up, you know, 41 points per game in those six games. So, you know, you can't ask your offense to score that much. For them, you know, it just is how long can you be competitive with 21 kids, you know, whether that's throughout the whole season or whether that's in games, you know, because I just think with that number of kids, fatigue in week to week is going to set in when you get late in games too, with so many kids probably having to play both ways.
And you're going to see that, and that's an interesting point you bring up, because even if it's not hot in week one, and I know coaches always get upset about it, is cramping's always an issue in week one. It can be 54 degrees at game time. And you just the way a season starts. Now, it would have been interesting to see if you – but you only played how many, 48 plays last night, Max? So I think that's another issue about week one. What is the weather going to be next week for them? And if you're talking about temperatures in the, you know, upper 80s, mid-80s in playing in those type of conditions, because at 7 o'clock still this time of year, you're playing mostly in the sun and the heat and – normally, that's always an issue in week one.
And Orion plays Hall, who, as you mentioned, has a lot of returning talent back. They were very young a year ago, and they have a new head coach, Logan Larson, who was an assistant for Athens, who was the 2A runner-up a year ago. He's a young guy. I think he's in his, like, 20s. So a new head coach there. So and you never know when a new coach comes in what the – personnel will look like or what the system's going to look like. So a lot of unknowns for them going into that game against Hall next week. So three games across WRMJ and WRMJ.com Friday, Mercer County at Monmouth Roseville, Rockridge at Sherrard, and then Orion at Hall. We'll have all 9 weeks for all four of those schools all season long. Before we get to our coaches, we'll hear from them in this order: Sam Graves at Rockridge, then Brandon Johnson at Sherrard, then Chip Filler at Orion, finally Tanner Matlick at Mercer County. And then you talk with Brian Roosh a little bit later on this morning as well. Anything else you want to touch on before we get to our head coaches as we get ready for high school football in 2024?
Hey, I want to just say something about to the Bewley family. Really saddened by the loss of Terry Bewley this week. I know his artwork on that Pratt Memorial Field has been tremendous. And I'm, you know, I just shocked when we heard that this week. So really going to miss him around town and around the school district. I know a lot of people have said it, not a lot. I mean, the good thing about social media is, you know, the stuff that when something like that happens, you know, the kind of tributes to him and what people have said, I think has been awesome. But man, just a sad deal, that's for sure.
Yep, it is sad. And you said, you know, you'll miss seeing him around the school and around town. I'll miss seeing him most when he would stop in at WRMJ. And then, you know, you're going to be in for a 2-hour conversation about high school sports with him. But yeah, he was just a joy to see and talk to. And like you said, all the tributes people have posted to him. I mean, everything everybody says is so true. I mean, it's hard when you would talk to Terry Bewley not to be like laughing at something he was saying, you know. And he just, you know, it's important to have people like that. He cared about the youth. He cared about, you know, the schools, the school athletics. It was just, he was a great guy to have around, and he'll be missed in a lot of different ways. So rest in peace, Terry Bewley.
Amen. And then you know how we begin the year and how fast the year progresses. You know, we a blink of an eye and the 2024-2025 school year is over. So there's so much we're going to get to here as the season and the weeks progress. But I did think it was awesome the way the school year started. I saw the Illinois Coaches Association, two coaches of the year, the softball coach, Class 1A level, Renee Leander, who led Ridgewood to the state title in the spring, and then Scott Durbin winning Coach of the Year honors. And everybody always says you don't want to be the guy to replace the guy, but Coach Durbin did a pretty good job with the Coach of the Year honor for Rockridge in his first year. But anyway, I wanted to mention that because it'll be the spring sports season before you know it, I guess.
Yep. Congrats to both of them. Those were fun years to follow, especially late in the year. We were lucky enough to cover both Rockridge and Ridgewood down in Peoria at the softball state tournament. So hopefully our year starts today, I guess, with Sportsline, and hopefully it ends at the Louisville Slugger Sports Complex again this year. So anything else you want to touch on before we get to Sam Graves and Rockridge Rocket football here in a moment?
No, just, you know, we're looking forward to another exciting year, and like, a platform and the station, the mission of the station remains the same, and that's to provide great local content like we're going to today and then next Friday, and, you know, access to three games. You want to mention, so Ty Taylor, we always talk about not, you don't want to be the guy to replace the guy. So he's going to be replacing John Hoshite. But John's back week two, I think, and even Chuck Clausen's coming back.
And Coach Breeden will be back, too.
For that, that'll be awesome. And then you said it'll be Ty Taylor and Ledith Whitehall the rest of the
year. Yeah, hopefully, right?
And then
I'll be doing Rock Ridge, and we'll have a hodgepodge of people helping me out. Glenn Cook, I know for sure, on the road games. But I think next week, I haven't confirmed this, but I'm assuming Coach Cook and Coach and Eric Hutchins will be with
Eric
me.
Will be there.
And then Eric's going to do Sherrard games for us. And then do you want to mention the new youngster we have lined up for Orion?
Brian Chistel from St. Ambrose University. He is he covers them on the radio for St. Ambrose's football program. So he's going to be helping us out covering the Orion Chargers this year. He was in here this week. He's a Brother Rice grad in the city of Chicago.
And he's a Greg Armstrong prodigy
at St. Ambrose. That means we know he'll be very good.
Yeah, so he'll be doing the Orion game. So that's kind of the setup for our broadcast here in the fall of 2024.
Yep, we're excited to bring you high school football in 2024 and basketball, you know, baseball, softball, everything throughout the year. So, all right, you want to take us to break and get us to St.
All right, let's do it. We'll hear. How many years has he been the head coach now?
I believe this is number 9 overall.
And then I'm assuming Coach Henry's still on his staff, and Coach Smith, and and by this way, the other thing I'm going to mention, I see our agent bought a new home. Did you see that?
Oh, Kylie did.
Kylie,
oh,
Henry.
Good for her. So I did not see that. Congratulations.
We've retained her as agent and as an agent, and things have been going well for her, and she's bought a new house.
Yeah, her
awesome.
Big
great
commission
listener,
on all this, all the endorsements we get, you know.
So anyway, and then coming up out of the break, Sam Graves, and then we'll also hear from Coach Filler, Coach Johnston, and Coach Matlick, and you're listening to Sportsline on WRMJ.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
This summer, save on Saucony at 6140 Run. Saucony Select running shoes are clearance priced at just $80. Plus, running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off. Saucony running shoes are built to keep you stable and comfortable, and are as reliable as they get. And they feature crave-worthy cushioning. So stop in at 6140 Run and pick up a pair of Saucony running shoes for $80. Or save on Saucony running apparel and clothing at 25% off at 6140 Run on West Main, across from the library in Galesburg.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Alito, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
And our 2024 high school football preview continues on WRMJ. We're talking Rock Ridge Rocket football now with Rock Ridge head coach Sam Graves. So you transition from 2023 into 2024. How have things been going so far? You see, get ready to suit up in week one on Friday.
You know, we're excited. We didn't know, coming right out and being honest, I didn't know what we'd expect up front. I think that was what everybody right now is looking at is, what does Rock Ridge look like, on offensive line with three really good offensive linemen graduating and us messing around a little bit with Landon Bull? Where do we put him to be the best fit for the team and to be the best team we can be, but also give him as many college looks as possible? We want to do that for kids if we can, but, at the end of the day, we're going to have to do what's best for the team, and where he goes is going to be the spot that helps us win the most. So, it's looking better than if you'd asked me 2 months ago. I feel a lot better now than where we are.
You mentioned the offensive line there, and that was one of the big things I wanted to ask you about, because when you look at this team this year, I think for Rock Ridge, you kind of know where you are
at the skill position spots, but up front, as you mentioned, having to replace three starters, Tanner McKagg and Landon Bull both back. You talked about how not sure necessarily how you're going to use Bull. So how do you feel where your offensive line play is at, and who are some newcomers up front you're going to be looking for production from this year?
Yeah, two guys we're going to rely on, and they've as young guys, they've been defensive only, and that's Jude Finch and Ryan Lower. You know, those guys are both all-conference D linemen. Ryan's an all-conference linebacker, and they've focused as young guys on defense only. And now this year we're going to ask them to play both ways. So, but saying that, those are two really tough kids. They're both phenomenal wrestlers, state qualifying wrestlers. Jude Finch, obviously, a state champion. So the nice thing is you never question toughness or want to. Or stamina. So it's just about getting those guys the mental reps to have them ready to go. So, you know, and I think that's why I said I feel better about it now than 2 months ago, because we questioned whether they would be ready on the offensive side of the ball. And they've answered the call. They've worked their tails off, and I think we feel pretty good about that.
Well, the headliner for you offensively back, I think, is sophomore quarterback Colin Schweigen, seeing his progression, you know, from week one to the end of the season last year was really strong, and this year, you know, entering year two for him. How do you feel he looks throughout practice so far as you get ready to open the season against Sherrard?
You know, he looks more confident, and I think that's what I've said this 3 or 4 times now with people asking me, but I think it goes both way, coach and kid. You know, not only does he have mental reps in from a full freshman year, so he's a little more comfortable, but also me as a coach, you know, starting the year last year, I was hesitant with him, and I was maybe kind of babying him a little too much and babying play calling, because you're trying to protect a freshman and you don't want to throw him in too much too early and ruin confidence. So you try to protect him, but at the same time, you're holding back his athleticism and his skill. So I think it'll also help me having another year under the belt with Colin, you know, and we'll be able to let him fly a little more this year, and I'm excited to see what he can do.
And his weapons around him, your receivers, Landon Wheatley, leading receivers back, the two steals, Liam and Owen had solid years as sophomores last year. Baylen Lehman's a senior this year. I think Jacob Freiermuth got a lot of snaps for you as a running back last year, kind of backing up Alex Arletana. So outside of Schweigen at the skill positions, receiver and running back, how do you feel where you're at?
Yeah, we feel good about the returning starters. We do. You know, Owen's a kid kind of like Colin last year, where he played as a sophomore, and, you know, we moved him around different spots, and I think it kind of confused him mentally learning the offense. So now that he's had a year under his belt, he should be able – I mean, that kid's going to be a stud at receiver. I mean, people throw around the word this kid's an all-state kid, whatever, but that's a legitimate all-state receiver easily, and we're excited to see what he can do. But you're right, Liam looks pretty good out there. His brother, he's playing a slot for us. Landon Wheatley's back as a good leading receiver for us last year, so you know their progress has been really good too, because they were a lot of sophomores last year, and Landon was obviously a junior, but you know, Liam and Owen being sophomores and Jacob being a junior behind Zarlatanis, a lot of guys that, yes, played but didn't get a lot of, you know, maybe starting reps and have a year under their belt now, and I think they're going to be a lot more confident. So, you know, I'm excited what the skills bring back for us. I really am.
So defensively, a strong year last year for you. You mentioned a couple of the returners earlier, Ryan Lower and Jude Finch. Landon Bull, as we mentioned earlier as well, all-state linebacker from a year ago. So how are things looking on the defensive side of the ball here coming into the season?
Yeah, pretty good. I feel like we had a really good defense last year. We felt good where we ended the season and then hit that train of a team called Seneca that rolled us, so it made you feel not so good about it. But you know, we feel pretty good about it. We returned a lot of our, you know, secondary and linebackers on defense. Alex was obviously a big loss at inside linebacker, so we need to replace that. But we feel really good about the Thomas Sowards kid coming up, who's a heck of a wrestler also. And he'll contribute both at running back and linebacker for that hole. And I think for defensively, the big question is how the heck do you replace Vaughn Frere? That kid was an animal on defensive line. He you know, he was physical at the point of attack. He chased down stuff from behind constantly. His motor was nonstop. And that's where we're going to ask those few, you guys like Jude Finch. You know, his motor never stops. He's got to fill in for his self from last year and a little bit of Vaughn. And then we're probably going to see a little more speed on the field on D-line, which is what we've been kind of gravitating to lately. Unless we have a freak of an athlete like Vaughn Frere, who's big and fast, we've kind of been going more towards speed lately rather than size. And we think that gives a lot of people problems. And I think that's what we're going to focus on this year, too, is defensive speed.
So back-to-back conference championships for your program entering 2024. A little bit of a new-look league this year with Morrison and Bureau Valley leaving Mercer County in. You'll see them later in the season. You're just kind of taking a look around the conference and at your schedule. What kind of sticks out for you, and also just some reaction to Mercer County joining the league?
Yeah, I think everybody is excited about that. It's a natural fit. As soon as it happens, I think everybody would just kind of like to see the old Olympic back. I mean, everybody wants to see that core of Mercer County, Rockridge, Orion, Sherrard. Riverdale's kind of stated they always like that group of teams and want to stay there. So then naturally you want to see those teams to the south of us join it, like Monmouth, maybe Macomb, maybe, you know, back to the Knoxville, Farmington, Elbin, Brimfield. Like, that's a pretty good north-south Olympic conference there, and I think people would love to see. So, but, you know, it's kind of exciting getting them back in the fold, and I think it's good for the communities. You know, as coaches, you can take it or leave it because you just want to pretend like every game's the same to the kids, but you know it'll add a little more juice for the communities, so that's exciting for everybody. You know, I think the big question for us is week one, you know, seeing Sherrard right away. We're both probably wondering what our question marks are, and it's a rivalry game, and no matter, I always say, no matter how much better or worse you think you are than that team, it's going to be a close game. So, you know, it's a big question mark coming into week one, and we know they'll be ready, and they're a well-coached team. And, you know, looming large week two is Princeton. So those two games are tough starts for us.
All right, we mentioned kind of off the top a successful run for this program over the last, you know, I want to say probably 10 or so years with you involved with the program. So just speaking year in and year out, what are the kind of expectation levels for the program and then for this year's team too?
You know, I said this on the TV the other day, and I don't know how people take it, but I expect us to be a November team. We want to be somebody that people have to talk about come, you know, deep in the playoffs. Yes, every week is its own week that matters more than every other week, but, you know, it's not small goals for us. It's not making the playoffs and being 5-4. We're going to be a team that makes noise in November, and that's what we always talk about and our expectations are. And you know, we hold the kids to high standards here. And I have that talk with them right away. We had it this week with school starting, or last week with school starting, that, hey, you're going to be treated by us coaches unfairly playing football. You really are, because we're going to hold you to high standards. We expect you to hold yourselves correct in school, get your work done. Like, you know, nobody else is going to have these standards and expectations on you with the whole school that we're having on you guys being out here. So, yes, you do have to work extra, and, yes, you do have to hold yourself to a higher standard. So, you know, we expect out of the guys, and I think that's what's made us a pretty good football team the past few years, and we hope that continues.
Rockridge head coach Sam Graves joining us on WRMJ. Coach Graves, good luck in 2024.
We appreciate you guys being here. Thank you.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
You finally have your dream home. Now you need the right insurance to protect it. Because when it comes time to file a claim, you don't want any surprises. Talk to a Country Financial representative to find out if you have the right protection. They can help you understand your options and select coverages to meet your needs.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Home insurance policies issued by Country Mutual Insurance Company, Country Casualty Insurance Company, or Country Preferred Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. More preseason football coverage as we're getting set for the 2024 season. Talking Sherrard Tiger football with Sherrard head coach Brandon Johnston. So we're talking with you Friday night after your week zero scrimmage with Anawan Weathersfield. We'll start kind of on a personal note with you. Obviously, you spent a lot of time as the head coach Anawan Weathersfield. What was it like? Not obviously a regular game, but being back on the visiting sideline here.
Yeah, I still have some really good buddies and some lifelong friends that are on staff here, including Tony Grip, their head coach, who was my quarterback on a quarterfinal team back in 2012, I think it was. So it's awesome. Saw Becca Harridge and many other people, but Becca was the first to greet me coming off the bus. She helps out in their office. So it is cool to come back and see a lot of the people, a lot of my really good friends, and like I said, lifelong friends. So that part of it was really neat tonight.
So this is the first year that the IHSA is allowing these kind of preseason controlled scrimmages. What'd you think of the setup getting to do it for the first time tonight?
Yeah, I like it. I think they put a lot of thought into it. One of my biggest things with anything new that, you know, let's make sure if we're going to pass something that we pass a good proposal. And I think this was really well done. So overall, I'm pretty satisfied with the format and how things went.
All right, so overall, just kind of looking at the roster you put out on the field today, what'd you think of kind of the performance, first time seeing 11 on 11 full pads against another team?
Yeah, first of all, that's a darn good team, and we knew that. That was one of the reasons we wanted to schedule them, is we wanted to test ourselves. We you know, everybody knows we lost a big senior class. We knew we'd come in with a lot of unknowns, so we wanted to test ourselves tonight, and that's a darn good team. They're a pretty well-oiled machine even this time of year. So, rough start, first couple plays, I think we gave up touchdowns, but I'm really proud of the way our kids battled tonight. Got a goal line stop down there against a lot of their starters. Threw a touchdown pass or two, I think. I can't even remember now. Got one close, I know, too. So, overall, pretty satisfied. It's always learn a lot in these, whether it's against yourself or in this case, first time against another opponent.
All right, so coming into the season, maybe off-season-wise, I think when you look at the roster you have back, I think, probably thinking, okay, up front, we should be pretty strong. I know you're dealing with a couple of injuries, suffered an injury to one of your starting linemen tonight, unfortunately. So I guess going into week one against Rock Ridge, how do things look up front, now about a week out?
Yeah, we've certainly still got a couple question marks. But we were thinking and hoping and still maybe think that that's going to be a strength for us. We've got some pretty good options up there. We're still trying to figure out where the pieces of the puzzle fit exactly. But we think that could be a solid group for us. We learned a little bit tonight. Think we got to get a little bit more physical and consistent up front with our physicality and execution. But I think that's a group that could be a pretty good group for us by the end of the year.
Okay, and the other kind of big story for this year looks like Carter Brown playing quarterback. He shifts from wide receiver to playing quarterback here in this scrimmage today. So what have you liked out of him kind of shifting positions into his junior year?
The ball in his hands every snap. We weren't sure what was going to happen going into the offseason. That was kind of our first thought is, hey, if we can put the ball in that kid's hands every play, why would we not do that? We had Holland last year, obviously, that could put the ball in his hands pretty frequently. But this year, obviously, Holland graduated. He's up at Platteville, and, we needed an answer for that. So we're going to do a lot of the same things we do. We kind of believe in a system and stay within your system, make tweaks year by year, whether that's quarterback or anywhere else. Believe in what you do and just tweak it to fit your personnel on a year-by-year basis. So, Carter, everybody knows who Carter Brown is. I don't think it was probably a big secret. I know Rockridge was here tonight, and we were a little concerned about that at first, but hey, they know, and we know that they know that Carter's our guy there at quarterback. So, ultimately to get him some reps tonight, some game speed reps against a really good team, and I thought he performed well tonight.
So as you said there, Carter shifting to quarterback. He leaves a big hole on the outside, is obviously a two-time first conference all-conference wide receiver, I should say. So outside of Brown, the rest of the skill position players you're looking at this season, running back, wide receiver, who are some kids you think that are going to need to step up to produce to have a successful 2024 overall?
Yeah, I think the first one that comes to mind is a pretty familiar name is Garrett Woodward. He's been a starter. I think this is his third year, maybe even on both sides of the ball that he's started. He's a very productive player for us last year on both sides of the ball, and we're just going to ask him to do a little bit more this year. So that's one that's pretty familiar. Brody Bender's another one. He's a senior this year, played for the first time last year, and really grew both physically and mentally with the game. I think he's going to be a very valuable piece to the puzzle as well. And fortunately, those are two seniors that that Carter's got to help him out.
All right, and then on the defensive side of the ball for you, just kind of keys to success with the personnel you have this season.
Yeah, we've got a lot of experience, I think, coming back on that side of the ball. You know, we've got a really good inside linebacker with Grady Steele. I think he's going to be a college football player somewhere. I'm not sure where or what position. I think he's going to have some options, but he's a really good player for us. Garrett Woodward has played outside linebacker again for 2-3 years for us. Carter Brown at safety. Brody Bender again is another outside linebacker for us. And we've got probably 6 or 7 guys that we feel comfortable with rotating up front on the defensive line. So, you know, we feel pretty good about that group. Again, we found some things out tonight, both good and bad, but we feel pretty good about that side of the ball.
All right, so just kind of taking a look at the program holistically, I guess. I think you told me before, so right around 40 kids playing this season. Year 4 for you, how do you feel where the program is at kind of progressing now into year 4 with you as the head coach?
Yeah, you know, after year 3, I felt really good about where we were. Came up, you know, 8 plays maybe short of making the playoffs last year, and that's tough to stay at 3-6, I know, but I mean, we were real close last year, and I don't think our record is really indicative of how well we played last year. Just came up on the short end a little bit too much. So really felt good going into the off season. I thought collectively we had a pretty good off season, but it's time to take that next step now. You know, I think we're poised. We have that potential. Obviously, with 40 kids, we got to stay healthy and can't have any significant injuries. But, you know, I feel really good about our kids that are going to be competitive on Friday nights. And, you know, I think if we stay healthy and, you know, clean some of the things up that we know we've got to do, you know, I think we're going to be very competitive once again this year.
And a new look division for you in the conference with Mercer County joining some schools shifting around from one side to the other. So a few kind of new opponents this year. You'll get to play Mendota. You got to play Hall, Princeton now on your side of the conference as well. So when you look at your kind of inner division opponents, what do you think about that part of the schedule?
Princeton obviously sticks out. We have them in week 3, I think it is. You know, obviously we're pretty well locked in on our week 1 opponent and haven't looked any too far, any further than that. But, yeah, I mean, they're certainly top dog. You know, we talked to our kids just a week or so ago about, embracing that, embracing tonight, coming over to Anawan Weathersfield and playing a team that's very likely poised for a deep playoff run once again. And just putting our kids in those positions where they're going to have to respond and challenging them and you know, again, see what they're made of a little bit. So, yeah, I'm excited for it. I really am. We want to be one of those teams. We want to be Rockridge. We want to be Princeton. You know, we want our program to get to that point at some time. We're a long ways away, but we're making some positive strides.
You referenced being locked in your week 1 opponent. They're obviously Rockridge. You've played 2 wild games with them back-to-back years and getting to host them again this year, week 2, another local school, Mercer County. So kind of the 2 schools that border you back-to-back in weeks 1 and 2. To me, that seems like a pretty fun start to the schedule, at least in terms of atmosphere of the games, I would think.
I love it. The only thing I'd change is if we could make them conference games instead of the non-conference crossover. I think that's silly, but I don't make those decisions. We're just excited to play them. I think those are musts for small school football, for our communities, our teams, our schools. Those are must games. We have to keep those on the schedule. Rockridge, Mercer County, and obviously Orion as well for us. So, you know, it's exciting to get to play those local schools. We've had some awesome crowds the last couple of years when we played Rockridge especially. It was just an awesome atmosphere, I know, last year. It gave us maybe a little bit of extra momentum that we needed and still came up just a little bit short. But, yeah, those are big games for us. They're all big games, but we're obviously pretty considered, pretty locked in and considered of our week 1 opponent.
All right, Coach Brandon Johnson joining us. Sherrard Tigers getting rolling 2024 football on the Mississippi side of the Three Rivers Athletic Conference this season. Coach Johnson, thanks for talking with us. Good luck in 2024.
Thanks, Ty. I appreciate it.
I'm Ty Taylor on WRMJ.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, save during the Hey Dude Shoes closeout sale. With Hey Dude Shoes priced as low as $40 and Hey Dude Boots as low as $65. Check out the rest of their store-wide deals while you're in. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude Shoes.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
This is Ty Taylor on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Our 2024 high school football previews continue, talking Orion Charger football this morning now with Orion head football coach Chip Filler. So, Coach, I know the kind of story for your program coming into this season is the low numbers. I know that's hitting a lot of programs, you especially, I think 21 or 22 kids out. So overall, I guess, what are kind of the vibes around that heading into week one on Friday?
Well, I told you guys last night, I'll say, my several trips to the school back and forth from my house, I was really nervous about this scrimmage, probably more so than I've ever been about a game in the last probably about 5 or 6 years. Just, I wanted to see how well they were going to play. And we came out, and the very first play, we go 80 yards. And so I wasn't very nervous after that.
So, you know, when you kind of look at having that number of kids out, I mean, obviously injuries could really be detrimental if something were to happen throughout the season. So what's kind of the plan, I guess, this year if you have to have a couple kids drop off due to injury? I know with 21 or 22, it's kind of hard to fill those spots. So overall, I mean, is there anything you can really try to pre-plan for if something like that comes up?
Oh, you want the plan? The plan is divert, Ty. That's the plan. No, I think we're okay. I mean, we're one or two spots. We're okay. Listen, I'll tell you this. Everybody wants to talk about the 22 guys or whatever. And Rock Falls jumped off the bus, and they had about 60 dudes walking in. And we just took it right to them, to be honest, totally honest with you. We have the right 22 in this room. And if anybody else wants to join us, we'll take them. But I have the right 22. We have the right 22. So injuries, bar none, we're going to be okay.
Yeah, and that's something I kind of wanted to touch on, too. Now, I feel like when you're dealing with the numbers issue like that, you know, there's kind of two ways things can go. You can either feel sorry for yourself, or like you're talking about, you know, you can kind of rally around the kids that are there and say, okay, you know, this isn't ideal, but we really like the 21 or 22 kids we have out. So it sounds like, at least so far, the attitude is on the right side of things, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, listen, I don't know what other programs are like, but our glass is always half full over here. We're going to figure out how to win. We're going to figure out how to do things the right way, and we're not going to feel sorry for ourselves. Hey, you know, I hate to sing, but it is what it is, right? So we got 22, and we're going to go win with our 22.
All right, and you referenced your week zero scrimmage with Rock Falls that took place last night. Sounded like you liked how things look. So just getting an 11-on-11 look for your group, overall, how'd you think things went?
Well, we had some concerns, like whether we were going to tackle. We had some concerns because we were young up front and how we were blocked. Both those boxes were checked, I think. You know, the one thing that we had that was very glaring, and it happens because you've only got 22, you know, probably about play 40. We probably got a little bit tired and we got a little bit sloppy. You know, the more endurance we get, we're going to be better off that way. But I was really, you know, we had 24 offensive plays and we scored 6 times. And on defense, we had 2 interceptions for touchdowns. So, yeah, I think we're okay.
All right, offensively, of course, your returners, Cale Filler, a great year last year. I think 23 touchdowns to just 3 interceptions. Junior quarterback, 2 big play receiver threats back with Jake Bainbridge and Owen Voorhees. So to me, and I think, you know, like you touched on, there are 6 touchdowns and however 24 plays, I think you said. So when you look offensively, definitely, I think big play, big scoring capabilities to me looks like another year where you're kind of be living and dying by passing the ball. You think that's about right?
Oh, we. against zone passing the ball, but I will say this. Aiden, our running back, our senior running back, and our offensive line, there wasn't a run that was under 6 yards, I believe, from last night. Every time he touched the ball, we're you know how we are. We're out of plays, and we really actually ran the ball a lot better than what we've been in the past. So I was excited to see that. So.
And then just up front for you, I think, you know, as we talked about over the summer when I saw you around, going to be a pretty young unit. So how have things progressed up front, both along the offensive and defensive lines, getting ready to start the season on Friday?
Well, I mean, from the initial, I feel like offensive line, we did extremely well. We think Hale hit the ground one time, and we'll figure that out. But, no, I think running the ball, we did well. Defensive line, I'm sure Coach Bolin is pretty excited about what those guys did there. Again, we got some breaks down just for fatigue. So we got to be able to do a little bit better job of getting people in and out and trying to get their rest there. But I was pretty excited. Now I will say this going in. We've had some rough days on the offensive line, a lot of mental mistakes and just different things. And we've really videotaped and did a lot of film study. Coach Matson, our offensive line coach, did a wonderful job of kind of getting these guys ready to go for Friday. And we're going to watch the tape here and we'll have a better idea exactly how they played. But right now we got a good feeling about it.
All right. And just when you kind of look on the defensive side of the ball for you with the personnel you have, what are some of the biggest keys to have success defensively in 2024?
Well, honestly, just, I mean, it's the right spot and tackle. I think we lined up correctly a lot of the times. Did our responsibility for the ball. We just did our job. I can't get it. We had a pick six, I think, on the third play of the game by Griffin Tennant, and he was down in the flats and threw the ball right to him. And then we had another linebacker had a tip ball, probably went about 6 yards, and YSD scored. So I think people being in the right spots, that's like 90% of it for us, and then let our athletic ability.
All right, so you open up with Hall on the road, a program that has a new head coach, so you get a kind of an unknown-type feel there. So overall, kind of the initial scouting report, if you have anything on your week one opponent on Friday.
Well, we know he was at assistant in Athens, so we're getting ready for the defensively, they're an odd front, so interesting to see how they play. A lot of man coverage, so which I think bodes well for us, with Jake and Owen, I don't see that there's too many corners that can cover one-on-one with these guys. So then they're going to either have to change coverage to do something they don't want, or those two are going to have to be nice. Defensively, we're going to have to really do our responsibility gap, and they're going to be quite a bit bigger than us. So we're going to have to man up, and but we did just like we did last night.
All right, that is Orient Charger head coach Chip Filler joining us. Chargers open the season on Friday in Spring Valley against Hall. Coach Filler, thanks for talking with us this morning, and good luck in 2024.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you guys want to say goodbye, Ty?
Go Chargers, right? All right, Coach Filler, thanks a lot. We'll see you down the road, and we're back with more on WRMJ after this.
This summer, save on Saucony at 6140RUN. Saucony Select running shoes are clearance priced at just $80. Plus, running apparel and clothing from Saucony is 25% off. Saucony running shoes are built to keep you stable and comfortable and are as reliable as they get. And they feature crave-worthy cushioning. So stop in at 6140RUN and pick up a pair of Saucony running shoes for $80. Or save on Saucony running apparel and clothing at 25% off at 6140RUN on West Main across from the library in Galesburg.
This is Ty Taylor back on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Our 2024 high school football previews continue, talking Mercer County Golden Eagle football now with second-year head coach Tanner Matlick. So first year that you're able to do these kind of preseason week zero scrimmages. We were talking with you Friday night after Mercer County scrimmaged with Rova Williamsfield on the road. So overall, what'd you kind of take away from getting to do this before the season?
It was good. It was good for our kids, I think, to get some of those week one jitters out that are typically there for these young guys and our guys that maybe are playing their first varsity snaps, get those jitters out, get the feel for varsity speed of football, against another team's ones. I know a lot of teams our size struggle with getting a good look in practice from scout team. So it was good measuring stick for us. Everybody stayed healthy. We came out and did what I told the kids I wanted to see, and that's relentless effort from the very first snap till the last whistle. So I thought that was good to see from our kids. Again, no injuries, nobody really cramping or anything like that. It was a nice night for football.
So overall, getting a chance to do this, I mean, now that you've been able to experience it once, is this something that you think you see yourself doing each year?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it was much different than your typical meet the Eagles or meet the team night we have, in a good way for those kids to get a gauge on, you know, some real varsity competition. Again, for those younger guys that are filling shoes every year, it's a good look at their first game style reps. And we did a little bit of this stuff this summer with joint practices with Ridgeview Lexington, and so our kids saw some of that stuff there. But I think this is something that I'll try to continue to do as long as we have somebody that wants to do it with us. So
all right, so don't want to, you know, bury the lead. Obviously, the big story of Mercer County, new conference affiliation in the Three Rivers Athletic Conference, 9 new opponents on the football schedule for you. So just a little bit about that. I know that the thing normally when you're playing football is you kind of play the same schools over and over each year. For this, though, it's a brand new game plan, brand new teams you're playing week 1 through week 9. So what's the preparation look like for that, kind of looking down the road?
Oh, it's been a unique offseason for us, reaching out to teams, you know, across the state, different conferences who have traditionally faced some of these teams in the track, and we're ready for the challenge. Our kids are excited about it, excited about the rivalries that we're going to renew. They've talked about some of the kids by name from other schools, which really excites me. I mean, that's cool. As a player that played in the Lincoln Trail Conference, you didn't get, and I know you know this, Ty, you didn't get a lot of that in that conference. So to play Rockridge and Sherrard and Orion and Monmouth-Roseville, in those local schools, I think it'll be awesome for the kids and awesome for the community.
All right, so year 2 for you as the head coach at Mercer County. Some of the biggest takeaways maybe you took from year 1 into year 2. Do you feel maybe more prepared here in year 2?
Absolutely. You know, going into year 1, really the kids, it took a while to establish the expectations of the program that I wanted and how I wanted us to act, how I wanted us to carry ourselves throughout practice, the intensity I want us to play in practice with. So I think that standard has been set, and the kids have done a really, really good job this summer of taking everything that I preach very seriously, and we're going in the right direction heading into week 1, I think.
All right, so top producer for you back from last year, obviously, is junior running back Tannen Whitehall, making that jump from his sophomore year to his junior year. From the few plays I saw tonight, he looked like he had a pretty strong outing. So overall, how do you – like how he's looking so far?
Yeah, I think he's looked great all throughout the summer. I think the O-line that he has in front of him this year, really, it goes back to that first year being a head coach. You were kind of bringing some new schemes into the offense where the O-line, it took them a while to catch on. So now that we've had 2 years with that and a pretty similar O-line group to what we had last year, I think Tannen running behind those guys has established a lot of confidence, knows where to hit the holes, knows what to look for, knows what his reads are, and you really see him blossoming here. You saw it tonight. I'm really happy for that kid, excited for his future in our program.
All right, new quarterback this year as well. Junior John Baldwin takes over under center. What's kind of the scouting report look like on him so far? How do you feel he's progressing heading into week 1 against Monmouth-Roseville Friday?
Yeah, he's been great to work with all summer long. John's one of those kids he's just a natural leader. He wants to bring guys along with him, you know, take them under his wing, coach them up a little from his perspective. So I love that about the kid. He's a hard worker. He understands the game, which I like about him, and you need that to be an elite varsity or high school football team. And, you know, he was a little shaky tonight. I think he had those jitters that I was talking about early, but he'll settle in just fine. I have no doubt about that.
All right, and up front for you both on the offensive and defensive line, how do things kind of shake up there? What is the progress you think going into week 1 at those spots too?
It's the O and D line is probably one of our biggest strengths, Ty. I mean, those kids play with a ton of speed, a ton of tenacity. They're a little bit undersized, but they play fast, they play physical, they fire off the ball. They do everything they're coached to do. It's a really good group and a really good core we have on both fronts. So.
And overall, defensively, how have things looked so far? I know, like we talked about earlier, it's probably hard to maybe get a real feel when you're playing just in practice, but going 11-on-11 with another varsity team, how do you think things are looking defensively as you get ready to start the season next week?
I think they look good. Return a bunch of guys on that side of the ball, so just the familiarity with Coach Russell's defense and just the leaders we have on that side of the ball with C-Dam and Bodie Solomon in the middle there playing inside backer. They played alongside each other since they were sophomores. So they know the drill. They know how to align. They know what's good against different looks offensively. So I trust those guys. I trust Eric calling the defense, and they've looked phenomenal this summer so far.
All right, and overall, when you just look program-wide, I think numbers right around 40, 41 kids. What do you make of that? It looks like kind of about everybody hovering a little bit below 40, a little bit above 40, or kind of right at 40 like yours. So overall, how do you feel about the numbers in the program?
It's frustrating at times, but what I'll say is we have 41 kids that really just want to get after it every single day and be better football players, be better teammates than they were the day before. So the 41 kids we have, I'd take into a high school football game against anybody. So would I like to see more numbers? Yes. But am I satisfied with the 41 guys we have? Also, yes. The bright side about that is, from everything I've heard early on this season with the junior high program, we have 45 kids out between the 7th and 8th grade group. So I think if we keep this thing going in a positive direction, we'll get more of these kids out for football here in Mercer County.
All right, as we wrap up, just kind of a brief maybe preview of the week one matchup with Monmouth-Roseville. I guess the schedule makers say we're going to test you right away in the Three Rivers. So a Monmouth-Roseville team that I think looks like it'll be pretty strong, especially up front. So just the initial kind of scouting report on the team you'll be kicking the season off against.
Yeah, they're big up front. There's no doubt about it. We haven't sugarcoated it to our kids. They are big up front. We're going to have to bring it every single snap against those guys. They return a ton of starters, so you know that experience is there with that group. They were a playoff caliber football team last year and do some really nice things on both sides of the ball. So we're going to have to bring our A game, be ready to play from the first snap, and the kids know that. And we feel like we have a good game plan on both sides of the ball. And again, it's going to come down to what a lot of high school football games come down to, and that is how good your offensive and defensive line are going to play.
That is Mercer County football coach Tanner Matlick joining us. The Golden Eagles open the season Friday against Monmouth-Roseville. Coach Matlick, we'll see you at Sunny Lane Field on Friday night.
Thanks, Ty. Appreciate it.
And I'm Ty Taylor. More coming up on WRMJ.
Building relationships, supporting the community and service. These are the things Country Financial stands for. We're neighbors who lend a helping hand and support the fabric of our community, including charitable organizations, sports, financial education, and civic organizations. Since we're already neighbors, let's get together and chat to talk about the things that are important to you and how we can help you protect them. See your local Country Financial representative today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Discover the Diamond Ag difference and take your harvest to the next level. Diamond Ag offers the top seed brands in the industry, including Midwest, Stein, Brevant, LG, and Zotavo. Their nutritionals and crop protection will keep your fields healthy and resilient all year long, and no one in the ag retail industry offers a broader selection of fertilizer products and services. Contact seed manager Brian Brooks at 309-582-4681. Diamond Ag, with locations in Aledo, Alexis, and Knoxville, deeply rooted in quality people and quality service.
This is Jim Taylor at WRMJ Radio in Aledo. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio. Another season is upon us. We're a week away from high school football games kicking off across the state. Now, Brian, in your part of Northwestern Illinois, eight-man has been a conversation piece, and we look at that here with 2024. West Carroll going to eight-man football here. How has that been going?
You know, as far as what I've heard, Jim, it's been going great. Numbers are very solid, somewhere in the 30s. The optimism is very high. I think the transition is going well because Coach S came over from Amboy, and of course we know the championship pedigree there. And there's a lot of excitement. And on kind of a side note, I didn't mention to you this in prepping, but you know, next year the high school moves to Mount Carroll, and they'll have a brand new football field up there. New press box, new bleachers. They already have a new track out there, so that's going to be really cool too. So it's part of that whole, you know, here's an opportunity, let's make the most of it, and I think everyone's buying in.
So it's interesting you say 30, and I know 30 now sometimes for an 11-man team is kind of a good number, and I know participation numbers, they say, are up, and that's talking about all sports. But I know just, you know, some of the stories I'm hearing as it relates to football, I think in Northwest Illinois and kind of this part of the state, I know it's confirmed that Orion has 21 kids, freshman through senior, playing high school football. I heard a program like Dakota, who has a proud tradition, they're struggling with numbers in the 20s. So you know, we have this conversation about eight-man football, and it's interesting to decide, you know, when do you pull the trigger and play eight-man, right? But then we don't talk enough about the other issue. You know, is there a point that you can go from eight-man back to 11-man? Because you hear a little of those rumblings sometimes when, you know, programs go to eight-man, then their numbers suddenly rise, and you hear some people then in the eight-man field saying, hey, they have too many kids. They should be playing 11-man. What type of policy do you think needs to be developed to determine that type of stuff? I don't know. Is it worth discussing, you think?
I think absolutely. And, you know, you kind of mentioned that, you know, some of those numbers rose when teams went from 11 to 8-man because the kids realized, hey, we won't have to play, you know, every down. We won't be facing some of these, you know, juggernaut teams in our conference. But that was one of the concerns with West Carroll. You know, they're a large school, even though their enrollment has dropped. What if suddenly this, you know, lights a fire and they start getting 45 kids out? Then some of those teams that left the NUIC to go to eight-man are saying, hey, it's just like the old days. We're the smallest school. We have very low numbers, and these teams have, you know, many players to draw from.
Well, I know, and it's such a narrow margin, really. I don't know what the answer is because you seesaw back and forth, and as you mentioned, you're dealing with enrollment. And, you just can't go back and forth from year to year and say we're playing 8-man this year, 11-man next year, because there's too many dynamics in play. But there has to be something eventually that says here is the rule for, you know, going from 8-man to 11-man. And I think maybe that's a policy discussion that if the IHSA assumes oversight of the 8-man game, maybe that's when they'll rectify that question. But right now, the Illinois Eight-Man Football Association continues to serve as the governing body of eight-man football. So conference affiliation, right? I guess probably every year is a discussion point. Quieted down a little bit with the pandemic. But I know the track, a change with the track here, and we're talking about Three Rivers Athletic Conference, Mercer County now a member there because Morrison has left. And they've gone to the NUIC, and I think that's probably a better fit for them. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, these new conference alignments. I know Morrison and Fulton have that rivalry renewed, and then, of course, Mercer County here in our area has their rivalries renewed with Sherrard and Rock Ridge and the like. What about the conference changes here to begin the new school year?
Well, as far as up here in the NUIC, I mean, I think you take a conference which has a great reputation and is thought of as maybe one of the best 1A conferences, and you do have a couple of, you know, you might have a 2A and a 3A in there with DUPEC and EPC respectively, but you take that and you make it stronger because you bring in a traditional team like Morrison, and yes, they have rivals in Fulton. That's great to have the Wooden Shoe Bowl back. That's fantastic. But I think you're going to see some great rivalries develop, maybe not geographically, but, you know, Morrison versus Stockton used to be a non-conference game for many, many years, and that's going to kind of reignite. And you're going to have some great matchups. Maybe these matchups were playoff games, you know, 15 years ago that are going to be happening on a Friday night in the regular season.
Well, I know the 1A season last year ended with a great clash between Camp Point Central and Lena Winslow, won by Camp Point Central. I'm assuming, though, is Lena Winslow still kind of the, you know, everything runs through them? I would say probably still in 1A football, and in the NUIC, they still kind of the team to beat even this year?
Yeah, they sure are. I mean, polling the coaches, they're all saying the same thing. You know, that the head that wears the crown is still the champion until somebody knocks it off. And, you know, the Panthers were thought to be down last year, and they were so down that they made it all the way to the title game, you know. But, yes, they're kind of the gold standard. And I think then, you know, beyond that, you've got a handful of teams capable of you know, challenging them for the conference and, you know, making a deep playoff run.
Well, let's get things started next weekend. He's Brian Roush at WCCI Radio in Savannah. And I'm Jim Taylor at WMJ Radio in Toledo. This is Jim and Brian talking high school sports on the radio.
Are you ready to step into style? Look no further than 6140 Run, your go-to destination for the latest in footwear fashion. Right now, save during the Hey Dude Shoes closeout sale. With Hey Dude Shoes priced as low as $40 and Hey Dude Boots as low as $65. Check out the rest of their store-wide deals while you're in. Don't miss out on the chance to upgrade your shoe game. Visit 6140 Run in Galesburg today to get your pair of Hey Dude Shoes.
Are you ready for your teen to get their license? At Country Financial, they know it's scary when you see your kids back out of the driveway for the first time. If you know your young driver has the proper protection from Country Financial, it's a little easier. Contact your local Country Financial representative to chat about car insurance today.
In Aledo, see me, Tracy Bigham.
Or Jason Potter.
In Edgington, see me, Brent Bigham.
Policies issued by Country Mutual, Country Preferred, and Country Casualty Insurance Company, Bloomington, Illinois.
It is the WRMJ Sports Line on a Saturday morning. We wind down show number one of the 2024-2025 school year as we hear from Coach Matlick, Coach Graves, Coach Johnston, and Coach Filler as we roll on to week one next Friday night. Three games on the WRMJ platform with Mercer County down at Sunny Lane Field at Monmouth-Roseville. Again, 7 o'clock kickoff, then Sherrard and Rockridge over at Clifford King Field, 7 o'clock kick, and then the Orion Chargers. They play at Hall Township High School in Spring Valley. That's one of my favorite venues. I love that field at Hall because there's no track there, so the stands are right on the sideline on both sides and really kind of an intimate setting for high school football. But those are, you know, three compelling games right off the bat next week as we try to get those wins to qualify for the playoffs.
Well, I think the beginning of the football season is always exciting because I just feel like year to year, it's kind of hard. You never know coming into each season really what the, you know, strengths or weaknesses of each team are going to be. So the week one results are always super interesting. And I think this year, especially like we touched on at the open of the show with Mercer County, Monmouth, Roseville, the result and the, you know, margin of victory that either team would have will be really interesting and I think say a lot. Same with Rockridge Sherrard. I think the result there will say a lot about where those two teams are. And Orion, I mean, you know, let's face it, that game against Hall is a winnable game for them. And, you know, that's a game that, you know, if you want to talk about getting to the postseason for Orion, they have to win that game week one. So that'll be interesting, too, to see how they kind of square up with the 21-22 kids out, how that looks playing an actual full game. I know they got to play or scrimmage with Rock Falls last night, but like we've touched on, that's only 48 plays, where to play a full game with 21-22 kids is a whole different thing. So how they're able to navigate that will kind of be a storyline to follow for them.
And I think, too, as we mentioned the playoffs, and we're kind of burying the lead here, the reason there is the playoffs in IHSA is one of the key playmakers that helped establish the IHSA playoff system that is celebrating its 50th year here in 2024, debuted in 1974, is Alexis, coaching legend and former executive secretary of the Illinois Coaches Association. So I think a lot about John Elder as this 2024 season gets underway. So always awesome to think about that. And I can confirm, so the IHSA is doing the top 50 programs in the IHSA since the playoffs were established. And I can confirm, I can't tell you what place
in
they are.
They're doing volleyball,
yeah.
Too.
Yeah, but football, Aledo / Mercer County made the list of top 50 programs since the playoffs in 1974, because specifically that late 90 through the 2000 run, much of that with Coach Walter, and then, of course, the 2012 state title team with Coach Zunkel. So, again, they're releasing those programs each week leading up to the state championship weekend in late November.
And also in the track, Newman Central Catholic, of course, also a program that is on that top 50 list as well. They have not been revealed what number they are yet, but they're on the list, and they'll probably be pretty high up there, Newman.
Yeah, I would assume East St. Louis or somebody like that's probably number one.
Right.
But somebody
– Mount Carmel.
Well, I heard somebody listed like – kind of violated the embargo. Yeah, well, I'm not going to say who it is, but that always makes me mad.
Everybody, no one ever.
Well, and that to me, yeah, and that's too bad.
Right. So anyway, that's a whole different media rabbit hole we can talk about, but nobody cares about that.
All right. So then we'll have all the coaches on every Saturday morning, right?
Correct.
For football.
Yep.
For post game analysis.
Talked to Coach Johnston last night. He said he's got flag football from 8 to 10 a.m. Saturday mornings, but he'll make time to talk to us on the sidelines watching his kids play. So,
all right. And yeah, it should be a lot of fun next week. I think, you know, like I said, the games we have.
All three are very interesting.
And again, the new track relationship with Mercer County, that'll be a compelling story as the season progresses, and just kind of the excitement and enthusiasm of the Friday night kind of rivalry games would be pretty awesome.
All right, and one more thing before we wrap up, because we got to get to our Antiques Day and New Boston Fish Fry coverage, which you and I aren't probably talented enough to do that. So
I'm going to eat food truck food.
Right. So, we do want to again say a huge thank you to the Rockridge football program. If you missed it earlier, they came in about 7:30 this morning, dropped us off some shirts, hats, a helmet even. Now we have a Sherrard and Rockridge helmet displayed in the WRMJ studio. So Jude Finch, Landon Bull, Landon Wheatley, and Colin Schweigen made the trip to Aledo in the middle of Antiques Day and got somehow downtown to the WRMJ studios. I don't know how they did it,
but they got here
and they dropped us the stuff off. So thank you to those kids and to the Rock Ritual program. Excited to cover the Rockets throughout the 2024-25 school year. Thank you very much. Always cool when people do that for us.
Yeah, I hope the kids got back to practice in time, because what time do they have to get back there?
8.
By 8 o'clock.
I know. We were talking. I said, yeah, I got to let you guys go, man. I don't know if they were.
They wanted food truck food, too, but couldn't do it, man.
So, all right. I don't have much else to say, really. I'm just excited for the season to get going on Friday night.
And then this will be available on demand.
Yep.
The coaches' interviews, so you can hear those. And
it'll be on WRMJ.com. And also, we have a podcast feed this year, WRMJ Sports. Search that on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. As well, anywhere you listen to podcasts, it'll be. We'll see how long that takes for it to post there, but that is something that is new this year.
And we'll have, of course, coverage leading up to the games on Friday, too. And one other thing, I think you need to promote the track side again a little bit for those people that outside the area are listening, that basically we are the depository, I'll call it, for the track.
Yeah, so we have a page on our website, which we have some sponsors for that this year. Want to mention them, Breedlove Sporting Goods in Kewaunee, Midwest Bank. They have locations in Aledo, Andalusia, and Monmouth, including more, and then also local country financial agents in Aledo, Edgington, and Orion sponsoring that. So on the webpage, you can find basically up-to-date records and conference standings for all varsity sports. Also, like, all conference teams are archived there, starting with last year. And as well with that, with our sponsorship, we've been able to kind of expand our coverage. Like, if you didn't see it, which you can be, now's a good time to look at our, we did a preseason preview with the coaches and media poll for football with all of those schools in the league on both sides of the conference. So that's available online at WRMJ.com. Also this week, we did a volleyball preseason coaches poll as well. That's online too. So we'll have a lot of expanded coverage of the conference throughout the school year and throughout the future, hopefully. So, again, thank you to those sponsors for helping us out. And thank you to our Sportsline sponsor, 6140 Run, back with us this year, as are three of the local country financial agents, Brent Bigham, Tracy Bigham, and Jason Potter. And also a new sponsor to Sportsline, Diamond Ag.
All right.
And Hayden Bennett.
That's awesome, man. And then I think, too, when we talk about track coverage, it's not just limited to Rockridge, Sherrard,
right,
Orion, and Mercer County, because, like, and not just football, but you mentioned, so, like, you talked to the Sherrard volleyball coach, but even kind of across outside the area, because I know one of our wants and gets later, want to talk to, like, the Riverdale coach and some of the other
boys
great
golf.
Stories.
Riverdale boys golf.
Yeah,
he
excuse
means.
Me. Yeah, Riverdale boys golf, and you know, just some of the other stories among this great conference.
Yep.
This is a great conference.
The best league around, man. It really is. I love the Three Rivers, and I'm so happy Mercer County's in it. Let's do it.
Let's do it. So we'll put the ball on the tee next Friday night. Our coverage beginning probably around 6:15 on most of the
six
platform.
For Mercer County games. We
six
have a
for
lot
Mercer
of
County again. Ty Taylor and Leedith Whitehall.
No, she's too nervous. She can't do
oh,
that.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right. But anyway, it'll be a lot of fun covering the season again this year. And for Ty Taylor, I'm Jim Taylor, and you're listening to WRMJ and WRMJ.com.
This has been Sportsline on WRMJ and WRMJ.com. Brought to you by Diamond Ag, your local ag retail supplier built from your local specifications with locations in Alito, Alexis, and Knoxville. By your local Country Financial representatives, Tracy Bigham, Jason Potter, and Brent Bigham, offering insurance for your life, health, home, auto, farm, or business. And by 6140 Running Galesburg, your spot for custom-fitted running and walking shoes, Hey Dude shoes, and Birkenstock sandals, plus Red Wing and Wolverine work boots. The preceding has been a presentation of WRMJ Sports, your high school sports voice of Western Illinois.